I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see you in the house of the Lord, and a very, very special welcome back to our sister Susie. So very good to see you. Yes, and we thank God for your testimony. We pray that the Lord may continue to bless and to strengthen you and to grant you good health and strength. And thank God for the blessings that we have been receiving from the Lord throughout the year. I'm sure we have many things to give thanks to the Lord for. And this year at the Watch Night service, maybe we should all be very prepared to come here to say a few words for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you not try to do that? I hope you will do that and come and give thanks unto the Lord and testify of His goodness, so that all those who are here, going to be here, will be very, very encouraged by your testimony. So good to see all of you. Yes, and good to see Michael and family. So good to see all of you here. Now, the topic this morning is your choice: health, wealth, long life, wisdom. Now, which would you choose if these are offered to you? Which one would you choose? Health, wealth, long life, wisdom. Now, King Solomon was presented with the greatest opportunity in his life when he started his reign. God offered him a choice. God asked Solomon what he wanted, and this took place at this place called Gibeon. God appeared to him in the night, and we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verses 7 to 10. I read for you the verses. In that night did God appear unto Solomon. Remember, this was the start of Solomon's reign. And God said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? That was his request. Lord, grant me wisdom and knowledge. That was what he asked for when God asked him what he wanted. And God was very, very pleased with the speech of Solomon. And so we read in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, we read, And the speech pleased the king, pleased the Lord. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thy heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thy enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that had been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. So he didn't ask for those things. He didn't ask for riches, honor, and wealth, but the Lord granted them to him. Now Solomon chose the right thing, wisdom. And because he asked for the right thing, yes, God blessed him with things that he didn't ask for, those great things, riches, wealth, and honor. Now, like King Solomon, my dear friends, we must also be asking for the right thing. We must be asking for wisdom. But what is wisdom? Or maybe we should ask, who is wisdom? Now, my dear friends, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is wisdom itself. He is wisdom personified. Now, how do we know that? I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. Yes, and it becomes very clear who wisdom is. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Read that verse for you. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. So who is the wisdom of God? Jesus is the wisdom of God. And if we earnestly seek the Lord Jesus Christ, we will of course be seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And if we sought His kingdom first and His righteousness, my dear friends, what does the Word of God say? Yes, our Lord promises us in Matthew 6:33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." All those things which we are in need of will be added unto us. Now, it is true, while we live our physical life on this earth, we are naturally very concerned about physical things, material things. Aren't we concerned about them? Of course, we are very, very concerned about our physical things and material things. But friends, the Word of God assures us, if we have our priority right, if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all those things that we are in need of will be added unto us. Now, we might not have abundance of them, but God's promise is this. Yes, what we are in need of, He will supply. How wonderful it is if we have our priority right, if we sought wisdom, if we sought the Lord Jesus Christ, if we sought first His kingdom and His righteousness. But it is foolishness to seek the wrong thing. Yes, real foolishness to seek the wrong thing. Now, let's say you seek to gain. You seek to climb. You want to climb higher and higher and higher. And let's say that you are able to gain the whole world. But friends, what does it profit you if you should gain? You should gain the whole world and then lose your own soul. That is foolishness. Yes. But friends, if we seek true wisdom, we seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we have? If we seek Him, if we seek true wisdom, what do we have? The Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, the Word of God says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." If we have the Son, if we have wisdom, and if we have the Son, what do we have? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. So if we have the Son, we have the wisdom in us, my dear friends, we have life, everlasting life. And not only everlasting life, we have life more abundantly. In other words, we not only have eternal life, my dear friends, we will also understand and know practically the real meaning of life. That is what we will have, my dear friends, if we sought wisdom, if we sought the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see how vitally important it is to seek wisdom. Yes, vitally important. Now, but how? It is so important for us to seek, but how to seek wisdom? Yes, that's what we want to talk about next. Yes, look at verses 1 to 5. How do we seek this wisdom? Or how should we seek wisdom? 1 to 5 in Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, 1 to 5. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and rich searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So friends, how should we seek wisdom? First, we must receive His word. We must believe His word, receive His word, and hide His word in our heart. Verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." So if we want wisdom, first of all, we must receive His word. And we must receive His word gladly into our hearts. Just like little Samuel did when he was learning how to serve the Lord in the tabernacle at Shiloh. God appeared to him. God called him, Samuel. And what was Samuel's prayer? "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And that's exactly what we should be praying, And that's exactly how we should be receiving God's word. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." We should be very, very gladly wanting to receive God's word, just like little Samuel was very, very glad to do so. Now, what we need, my dear friends, is a heart and a mind that is receptive of God's word, and not one that questions God's word and one that rejects His word. But today, my dear friends, we are living in a world in which the mind is positioned. The mind is positioned to resist God's word. The mind is positioned to reject God's word and not to receive God's word. The mind has been brainwashed into thinking that the evolution theory is true and creation is false. Yes, it's been programmed that way to reject God's word. And young minds are bombarded by the mass media that man is a product of evolution. Yes, it's happening every day. Now, this last trip back to Singapore, I saw something that was rather fascinating to me. I saw my grandnephew, little grandnephew, about 3-odd years old or so. When the television was turned on, he got very, very excited. He pulled a chair that was big enough for an adult to sit on, and he sat on that chair, slumped himself in the chair, and he was glued to the TV. I thought he was watching a cartoon show, but he wasn't. He was watching a show produced by National Geographic. He was very interested in the animals. I was rather fascinated. I said, wow, this little boy watching this show. But on second thought, I said, that's not right. Because he was watching unaccompanied by, not supervised by his adults in the home. I warned them. I said, you know, this boy is being brainwashed by the evolution theory. The producers of these National Geographic programs are all atheists. Yes, they are programming the child to believe in the evolution theory. So I left those words with the adults in the home. Today, all mass media are sold on this theory that evolution is a fact. All science books in schools teach that evolution is science. In other words, the evolution theory is held up as the truth, and that is taught in schools. But it is a deadly lie, because anybody believing in the evolution theory cannot believe in God. He cannot believe that God exists. And if he doesn't believe that God exists, my dear friends, he perishes. He's condemned already. So today, it is not surprising that the hearts of people in the world choose not to receive God's word. Not at all. The minds of people are set, positioned to resist God's word. Then we learn from CMI, Creation Ministries International, that in America, a huge percentage of young people, when they finish the, when they enter into the university, after the first year in the university, they lose their faith. When they were believers, when they professed to be believers when they were young. But they lose their faith in the university. They were challenged by the university professors, believe the university professors, and they become atheists. They give up their faith. I suppose, my dear friends, this could also be true here in Australia. But my dear friends, as parents who are believers, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is your responsibility to make sure that this does not happen, that your child does not lose his faith when he gets into the university. It is your responsibility. But you may feel very, very inadequate. You say, well, I do not have enough knowledge to counteract the teachings of evolution. Well, what should I do? Do not despair, because there are heaps of information out there that that are able to help you to counteract the teachings of the evolution theory. Today, for example, in our library, we have heaps of videos produced by CMI, Creation Science, Creation Ministries International, that are for creation, that teach the truth on creation and are counteracting the false teachings of the evolution theory. We have heaps of them. Borrow them, my dear friends, and I encourage you to borrow them. Watch them, and watch them with your children. Teach them the truth. Prepare their hearts to receive God's word gladly. Would you do that, my dear friends? Take the trouble to do that. If you want to be sure that your child does not lose his faith when he gets to the university, do that. Yes, we have heaps of those tips, as I told you. But your own heart must be receptive to God's word, first of all. If you want to teach your children to be receptive of God's word, you have to set your children the example to follow. Friends, the word of God tells us very, very clearly. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. the word of God must dwell richly in us, so that we may be able to set good examples for our children to follow. It is when God's word dwells richly in us that we will become the fruitful ground that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about in his parable in Matthew chapter 13. Remember the parable of the sower and the seed. The Lord talks about four kinds of grounds, and the Lord talks about this good ground, productive ground, the ground that is very, very receptive to God's word. And this is what is described of this ground told by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. You see, hear the word, receive the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Friends, if you want to set a good example for your children to follow, you must be very, very fruitful. Yes, and you can only be fruitful if you receive God's word. And if you receive God's word, you have true wisdom, you'll be fruitful, and you'll be setting a good example for your children to follow. They will be interested also to be receiving God's word, if you set them that example. Now, if we want wisdom, not only must we receive God's word, but we must hide it in our hearts also. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, hide my commandments with thee. And then we have that very famous verse in Psalm 119, verse 11, which says what? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hiding the word of God in our heart. Now what does it mean? It does not mean that we allow the word of God to be hidden so deep in the recess of our memory that we forget that the word of God is there. Yes, that is possible. Now, haven't we learned God's word and then we hide God's word in our minds, and for a long, long time we've never recalled those verses. We've never recalled those verses. And it's true. Yes, it can happen. And it does happen. Some time ago I met a former classmate. And then, well, in the course of our conversation, I had not met this classmate for many years. Then we met, and then in the course of our conversation, he got talking about another classmate. He mentioned the name of this classmate. I said, who was this classmate? Did we have this classmate? He mentioned that name. And then for the life of me, I raked my memory at that time. I couldn't remember the face. I couldn't remember the name also. But you know, the next morning, while I was doing my quiet time, all of a sudden, the name of that person and the face of that person flashed before me. I remember him. I tried to recall him and how he looked like and his name. I managed to do so. Yes, a name and a face that I had not recalled for some 40-odd years came into my mind. Yes. Now, the question is, why couldn't I remember his face? Why couldn't I remember his name? I couldn't, because there was no reason for me to recall his name, no reason for me to recall his face. That's why I had completely forgotten about that face and that name. I trust, my dear friends, we have not hidden God's word so deep in the recess of our memory that we have completely forgotten about God's word, just as the way I forgot about this classmate of mine. Now, why do we not remember or recall, remember God's word and don't remember that it's there? We don't remember it's there because we have no reason to recall that, recall God's word. We have no reason to use it. We've never used it. We don't use it. We don't care to use it. In time, we forget that the word of God is there. But friends, that's not the way to hide God's word. My dear friends, if we really are hiding God's word in our hearts, we must be actively hiding God's word. And how do we actively hide God's word in our hearts? My dear friends, we must every day be meditating on God's word. Meditate on God's word day and night. That's the instruction given to us by the word of God. And if we want to live a successful and a prosperous spiritual life, that is what we must be doing. Meditating on God's word day and night, as the book of Joshua tells us to do. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. My dear friends, That is the way we should be treating God's word, not hiding it so deep in the recess of our memory that we forget it completely. No. To hide it in our heart means we are to meditate on God's word day and night. Yes. And that is wisdom, my dear friends, if we are able to live a happy, prosperous, successful spiritual life. That is wisdom. Yes. If we want to seek wisdom, receive God's word, hide God's word in our heart. Now the question is, all right, we have to receive God's word. We want to have wisdom. We have wisdom. How to have wisdom? Receive God's word. But how to receive God's word? The word of God gives us instruction as to how we should be receiving God's word. Look at verses 1 and 2 again, Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Ah, friends, we should incline our ear unto wisdom. That is how we should be receiving God's word. We are to incline our ear unto wisdom. In other words, we must turn our ears to wisdom, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when the Lord speaks from his word. Today there are so many things and so many voices in the world that are crying for our attention. Yes, the cares of the world. Don't they cry for our attention? They do. And many of these cares, as we said many times before, are really legitimate cares. Right? The care of our work in the office, the care of looking after the family, the care of our studies, the care that we have when our children are sick, all these are legitimate cares and they are crying out for our attention. Then there are other voices that are also crying out for our attention. The voices of entertainment, sports, the mass media, television, and so forth. And these all could be very, very enticing, very attracting, and are pulling our ears to listen to them. But friends, we must heed God's word. This is how we should be receiving his word. We must incline our ear unto wisdom. That is what we must do. When wisdom speaks, when the Lord speaks through his word, we must incline our ear to listen to his word. That is how we should be listening, inclining our ears. And how else should we receive his word? Look at verse 2. So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. My dear friends, we are to apply our heart to understanding. In other words, we don't just turn our ear to listen to wisdom when wisdom speaks, but we must apply our heart to understanding. We must listen wholeheartedly and try to understand. Listen wholeheartedly. Now I ask you, right now, are you wholeheartedly listening when the word of God is proclaimed from this pulpit? Are you? Or is your mind somewhere else? I say it's so easily for our mind to stray, for our mind to drift. But the question is, are you fixed on what is being spoken right now? Are you listening wholeheartedly to what is spoken from the pulpit right now? Years ago, I remember this very proud elder of a certain church who obviously was not applying his heart to understanding. Yes, not applying his heart to listen to God's word when God's word was spoken from the pulpit, because he thought that he knew God's word a lot and he thought he knew better than the preacher, so he didn't pay attention. And he was always very fidgety. And now and then he would get up from the pulpit, get up from the pew, because the temperature of the auditorium didn't seem right to him. So he would go to the control of the air conditioner to control the temperature of the auditorium. And he would do that practically every Sunday. Yes. He was very distracting, and he was distracted. He was very distracting. He was distracting other people in the congregation. Now, if he was publicly not applying his heart to receive God's word, you just have to wonder whether he had the discipline to apply his heart to understanding in private. In public, he's not applying his heart to understanding. In private, you just wonder whether he's applying his heart to understanding or not. And what godly wisdom did this man have? I say very little. If there was, there was very little. Hardly any godly wisdom at all. By his behavior, you could see that he hardly had any godly wisdom, because he was foolish enough to be made use of by Satan to cause great divisions in the church. Yes, he was one who was not giving wholehearted attention to God's word. Yes, not applying his heart to understanding. Now, friends, let us not allow anything to pull our attention away from God's word. By God's grace, let not the cares of the world, nor the love of some sports, the love of a girl, or love of a boy, love of a hobby, love of our work, prevent us from listening wholeheartedly to understand, to understanding, even his word. But rather let us incline our ear unto wisdom and apply our heart to understanding. That is how we should be receiving God's word. If we want to have wisdom, yes, incline our ear unto wisdom and apply our heart to understanding. That is how we should be listening to God's word, if we want to have wisdom. Now, how else should we seek wisdom? How else? Our friends, we seek it by seeking God, praying to God earnestly and diligently. Look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. We are to cry after knowledge, and we are to lift up our voice for understanding. It means we are to pray. We are to pray diligently to get this knowledge and to get this understanding. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. Now, parents will be very, very worried if the babies do not feel hungry and do not cry for milk. If the babies don't cry for milk, something is wrong with that baby. But when the baby cries, the parents are very happy because they know that baby is hungry. Baby needs a feed. Baby is healthy. Baby is growing. Parents are happy. As believers in the Lord, we must have this same desire. As babies have to feed on the feed on milk, let us, as believers, pray that we may have this desire to feed on the sincere milk of the Word of God. If we are seeking wisdom, that is the kind of desire that we ought to be having for God's Word. And as baby cries for his feed, so must we cry for his word. So, friends, we need to pray for this desire for his word. Pray that this desire for his word will increase. We must pray for knowledge. We must pray for understanding. And we must pray that we have them. Yes, knowledge and understanding. If we really want to have true wisdom. And actually, the components of wisdom are knowledge and understanding. If you look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Yes. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So knowledge and understanding are components of the wisdom that we are talking about. Yes, which we ought to be desiring very, very much. Now, how else should we seek wisdom? We should seek for it diligently and intently. Verse 4 says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, as thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Some commentators interpret the word searchers to mean to dig. To search means to dig. Now, many miners have one characteristic. You know what characteristic miners usually have? Perseverance. Yes, perseverance. Now, if a miner were to find a single vein of gold, I tell you, he will not be satisfied. He'll be searching for other more veins of gold. Yes, and he will do so very, very diligently, very, very intently. He will continue to dig. Nothing stops him from digging. Nothing discourages him. Now, friends, that is how we should seek wisdom. We should seek him, which is the same as seeking the Lord, very, very diligently and very, very perseveringly. How diligently, my dear friends, have we been digging his word? How diligently have we been reading his word? As miner digs for gold, for precious metals, my dear friends, so must we be digging God's word. That is the kind of diligence that we must have if we truly want to have wisdom. Now, if there is no prospect of getting any treasure from His Word, of course we can get discouraged. We dig and dig, we don't get any kind of treasure, we can of course get very discouraged. An angler can be very patient, but friends, if for the whole day he doesn't get a single bite, I think he gets very discouraged, and then he might just pack up his rod, and then he decides to go home because he gets nothing. But if somehow he's guaranteed that on that day he's going to get 10 fishes, I say he will continue to fish because he knows that he will get 10 fishes. Now, thankfully, the Lord guarantees us that those who seek diligently wisdom and intently, they will find it. They'll find wisdom. And not only will they find wisdom, they will surely receive good things. Right? Look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, very, very persevering in searching, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Yes, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. That is what we will receive. Yes, the guarantee is this: if we seek wisdom, we will definitely find, understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of the Lord. And verse 9 says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. We will know every good path also. So we are again guaranteed at least three things. Yes, we will understand the fear of the Lord, and then we will find the knowledge of God, and then we will find every good path. Now the first thing we are promised, seeking wisdom spoken here, is then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. What a great treasure to receive from the one true living God. The fear of the Lord. Without this fear of the Lord, there is no wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the starting point of wisdom. It is the foundation of wisdom. If we have found the treasure, if we have found the greatest, we would have found the greatest treasure, my dear friends. We would have found the greatest treasure if we understand what is meant by the fear of the Lord. If we live our lives absolutely governed by the fear of the Lord, we can do no wrong. All the things that we do will be pleasing unto the Lord. And if we are able to please the Lord, my dear friends, do you not think that we will be receiving great and mighty blessings from Him? Sure we will. We fear Him, we please Him, we receive great and mighty blessings from Him. Just as Solomon received great and mighty blessings from the Lord. He asked for knowledge and asked for understanding. And of course, he got wisdom, which means that he had the fear of the Lord. Yes, and because he had the fear of the Lord, what else did he receive? Riches, wealth, honor, things that he did not ask for. As we said earlier on, we might not get physical prosperity, but for sure the Lord will grant us spiritual prosperity. He will grant us His joy, grant us His peace, grant us His happiness, things which money cannot buy. I do not know whether you remember this man called René Rifkin, which I spoke about some years ago. He was a famous millionaire, multi-millionaire playboy who lived in Sydney. Yes, and this was what the TV commentator had to say about René Rifkin. He said, René Rifkin could have anything money could buy, except happiness. He could not get happiness, even though he was very, very rich. Yes, and then one day he ran foul of the law, and then he had to go to prison. His imprisonment was actually very light. He had to go to prison only during the weekends. But during weekdays, he'll be out of prison. But he became very depressed. Finally, he committed suicide. My dear friends, he could have anything except happiness, something money cannot buy. Now, if we seek wisdom, we will indeed be blessed with the fear of the Lord. Now, we might not be materially rich, my dear friends, if we are blessed with the fear of the Lord. But, friends, the Lord will surely bless us with His joy, with His peace, and with His happiness, something money cannot buy. Thus, the second good thing promised to us is this: if we seek wisdom, what we will get is the knowledge of the Lord. Verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. We will find the knowledge of God. Surely it is the best thing to find the knowledge of God. You can have the most profound knowledge of science and of the arts. Yes, you can have the knowledge as that of the great Einstein, or the great modern Stephen Hawking. Or you can have the deepest knowledge of the arts, like the kind of knowledge that Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci or Picasso had. Yes, or you could have the most profound knowledge of great philosophers. Or you could have the greatest knowledge of great businessmen like the great Bill Gates. My dear friends, all this knowledge is nothing. It has nothing compared to this knowledge of God. Now, all this knowledge that we are talking about cannot save us from our sins. They can't. They can't save us from hell. Only the knowledge of God can save us from hell. Yes, none of these other kinds of knowledge can. My dear friends, my question to you is, do you have this knowledge? Knowledge of God, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have this knowledge. You need to know Him as your Lord and Savior. You need to know that He died for you on the cross of Calvary. You need to know that He shed His precious blood for you on the cross of Calvary. You need to know that you are a wretched sinner in His sight. If you know, you acknowledge, and you're willing to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, my dear friends, you will have true knowledge of God. You will have everlasting life. And not only will you have everlasting life, you will also have abundant life. Then if you have found the knowledge of the Lord, my question is, how deep is this knowledge? Yes, we say we have come to trust the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. We have the knowledge of God. But how deep is this knowledge? Do you have a superficial knowledge, or do you have a very, very deep knowledge? Now, if it is deep, it is deep knowledge. It is deep knowledge of the Lord. If you know, if you have the knowledge of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ operating in your life every day. Now, that is deep knowledge of the Lord. If you know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ working in your life every day. Yes, it is real knowledge, deep knowledge, if you know the fellowship of His sufferings. In other words, you have knowledge of suffering with the Lord, sharing in the suffering of the Lord. It is deep knowledge if you know what it means to suffer for righteousness' sake, just as the Lord suffered for righteousness' sake. Yes, it is deep knowledge if you know that He died for your sins, and as He died for your sins, we must die to our sins. Yes, that is deep knowledge. In other words, my dear friends, if you have this knowledge, more and more you will become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek wisdom. The greater the wisdom, the greater knowledge you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you will become like Him. And that is what we must aim to be. And the more we are like Him, of course, the more wisdom we will have. Now the third good thing promised is that we have guidance from the Lord. Look at verse 4. Alright, we are talking about seeking wisdom, reading His word, seeking wisdom. And then what kind of benefits do we have? What are the good things promised to us? Now the third good thing promised is that we will have guidance from the Lord. Look at verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Proverbs 2:9 says, then shalt thou understand. Look at verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. It all follows, my dear friends. If we understand the fear of the Lord, if we seek wisdom, we will understand the fear of the Lord, and we'll find the knowledge of God. Yes, and if we know what the fear of the Lord is, and we have this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it follows, my dear friends, that we will be able to follow every good path. We will be very well guided. We will know what is right in the sight of the Lord. And we will be just and fair in dealing with people. In other words, we will have equity. And surely, my dear friends, we will understand every good path. You know why we will understand every good path? If we sought knowledge. The reason is this: we will have the good shepherd leading us. He will be leading us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And in life, you know how vitally important it is that we get the right guidance and get the right direction. Very, very important. Get the right guidance and get the right direction in life. Yes. You get wrongly guided, move the wrong way, we make a terrible decision. In the Word of God, we have the case of this very foolish man. All right, he had a very wise father, but he was very foolish. All right, he was King Rehoboam. His father was King Solomon. Yes, perhaps the wisest man that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. When Rehoboam became king, the people of Israel came and asked for some relief from the taxes his father, King Solomon, had imposed on them. Remember, Solomon was one who was very, very creative, and he was one who was very, very concerned about great things, luxury, opulence, and so forth. Now, how to finance all these things? Of course, to finance all these things, then you have to impose a lot of taxes on the people. So the tax burden on the people must have been very heavy. So after Solomon passed away, these people of Israel came to him, to King Rehoboam, his son, for tax relief. And then Rehoboam sought the counsel of the older folks in his kingdom, those who were serving in his father's court. And these older folks gave him this very sound advice in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 7. I read to you. And these older people spoke unto him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant unto these people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." That was the counsel given to them. Be good to them. Be kind to them. They will be your servants forever. But of course, Rehoboam didn't want that kind of counsel. He sought the counsel of his contemporaries, the younger people, and their counsel was bad. All right, I read to you their counsel in 1 Kings 12, 10 and 11. And the young men that were grown up with Rehoboam spoke unto him, saying, "Thus shalt thou speak unto these people that speak unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say to them." You say this to them, Rehoboam: "My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." You see how foolish a counsel that was given by the younger people, the younger counselors. Which counsel did Rehoboam accept? Of course, he received the counsel from the younger people. And what was the result? The people revolted. It was a bad direction, bad path to go. The people revolted, and the northern 10 tribes separated from the southern 2 tribes. The southern 2 tribes were made up of Judah and Benjamin. The northern 10 tribes moved away from them and formed the northern kingdom. So the country was split into two because of this very foolish decision that he made, the wrong direction that he took. My dear friends, in life, we need to take the right direction. We need wisdom. Yes, we need wisdom. And if we seek wisdom, the promise is that we will never get wrong guidance. We'll never get bad guidance. We'll get good guidance. We will understand every good path. But where may we find this wisdom, my dear friends? Where? Of course, His Word. Wisdom speaks from His Word. Yes, God speaks from His Word. Jesus, the true wisdom, speaks from His Word. We must read His Word, know His Word, apply His Word to us, receive His Word, hide His Word in our heart, meditate His Word day and night. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Friends, we need to do that. If we want to get the right counsel and be moving in the right direction, getting into the right path. So, my dear friends, what's your choice? Riches, wealth, honor, and wisdom. Now, honestly, which will you choose? Today, if these were presented to you, riches, wealth, honor, and wisdom, like King Solomon, by the grace of God, let us choose wisdom. And we can be very, very sure that if we chose wisdom, if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and have our priority right, yes, all the things that we are in need of will be added unto us. Now the question is how to seek wisdom. Receive His word. Hide His word. And we must receive it earnestly, diligently, gladly. And how else should we seek wisdom? We should seek it like a hungry child crying out for his milk. And we must seek it diligently, intently, just like a prospector seeks for precious metals. And the Lord promises us three things when we seek wisdom diligently. Firstly, the fear of the Lord. Yes, which is the starting point or the foundation of wisdom. And what else does He promise us? The knowledge of the Lord. And we need to have the knowledge of the Lord for salvation, for life, everlasting, and for abundant life. And if we have them, of course, that is great wisdom. And finally, what will we get, my dear friends, if we seek wisdom? We get guidance from Him. And how to get this guidance, my dear friends? We must listen intently when wisdom speaks. And wisdom speaks from His word. We must read His word every day if we want to get the right kind of guidance that we are in need of very much. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies. Thank You for Your word. Thank You, O Lord God, that You have taught us from Your word that the best thing to choose for is wisdom. Help us, O Lord, that we may choose wisdom among all the many things that might seem very, very attractive. O Lord, we pray that we may, by Your grace, choose even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom itself. And Lord, we pray that we may know how to seek wisdom. And we know that the way to do it is to receive Your word and to hide it in our heart and to meditate on it day and night. And Lord, we pray that we may seek wisdom diligently, just as a miner seeks for precious metals. And we pray, O Lord God, that we may hunger for Your truth, hunger for wisdom, just like a child cries for his milk. O Lord, we pray that You will teach us to understand how needful it is that we seek wisdom, read Your word, so that we may be able to get the right kind of guidance that we are in need of, to walk in a way that pleases You. Help us, O Lord God, every day to do the right thing for You, to bring You honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.